Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I'm an editor at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting across from me, as always, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Binary solo. That was the extent of it this time.
I like that. That was a short quote.
Yeah. It helps balance out the epic quote I did a couple of episodes ago.
That's true. Today we wanted to talk about a topic that a couple people have brought up to us in the past, and we just sort of tabled it for a while.
Yeah.
But we're both sort of interested in it, and I think it's time we pull this one out and give it a try.
Yeah, it's the Arduino, which is an open source platform, both of hardware and software.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting to mention. When we talk about open source a lot, we are often referring to software.
Yeah.
And by open source, we mean when they release, in this case, the software, it's made public to everybody what the code is behind the software, so that if other people want to make contributions or look for vulnerabilities or find ways to improve it, ways to incorporate parts of that software into other software, they're welcome to dig in and get to work. But you don't often see that with hardware.
Yeah, it's a little trickier to do for one thing. Also, yeah, if you're looking at your general kind of hardware, let's say a microprocessor, you're looking at your general microprocessor, you tend to have it proprietary, right? Like Intel doesn't publish its micro architecture in complete detail to the entire world. That's proprietary knowledge because that's what Intel's business is built upon. To go open source is to kind of, just to take the veil away and say, this is exactly how this is put together. This is what each component of this thing, you know, how it works and what it does. And if you want to build your own, you are more than welcome to. Or if you want to take this and modify it and evolve it in some way, you're welcome to do that too. There are a little, there's some guidelines there, but we can get into that. I mean, it's just sort of very simple guidelines, really. But in the case of the Arduino system, it's kind of a tool for people to get familiar with electronics and to learn how electronics work and how to not just design the hardware, but to program electronics so that they do what you want them to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny, too. You mentioned Intel because, of course, they are it's really not even arguably the leading microprocessor manufacturer in the world.
Yes.
But you know, when somebody like Intel or Apple or Google or somebody else, who has a worldwide reach comes up with a new product, in a lot of cases, they come up with, focus groups and marketing efforts to try to come up with cool names for this, product because they want it to sell.
Right.
In open source, it might be a little different. Actually, this all came about around 2005. I was reading an issue of Make magazine that came out a few months ago from the time we're recording this, and the piece by Dale Doherty, who wrote the welcome to that issue, said this all started in 2005. And it came from an Italian institute, the Interaction Design Institute Ivrea. If we have any Italian listeners, please correct me on my pronunciation. But it's near Milan in Italy. Basically, some of the art students there and an associate professor named Massimo Banzi came up with an idea to come up with electronics boards that you could program yourself, but it was for artists and people who weren't programmers.
The goal is to use this basic foundation to build really anything that you can imagine as an electronic device. Really, you're limited by your budget and your creativity and your comfort with working with electronics.
Before we get into the details, sure. I just wanted to add this little trivia thing because I think it's funny.
Oh, right. The name?
Yes, the name. Because like I said, you come up with these highfalutin names that are supposed to indicate some kind of coolness factor. Arduino, actually, it's got sort of a coolness factor too because Bonzi suggested the name of the bar that they used to go to discuss these things as the name for the board. And Arduino is what stuck. So we go.
And their programming language is, of course, called the Arduino programming language. It's based on an older programming language called Wiring, which is another open source programming language.
Which I think is a little weird because if you're just doing your preliminary research on Arduino, you might say Wiring. What kind of wiring?
Yeah, no, it's just the programming language name.
It threw me a little.
But yeah, if you take a look at this, if you were to say, well, let me see what you're talking about, you would be looking mostly at circuit boards, and you wouldn't necessarily know just by looking at it what the circuit board does. And the reason for that is because a circuit board is they've designed the circuit board to be as flexible as possible, figuratively, not literally. You're not gonna bend this, but flexible as possible so that it can perform as many different functions as you can come up with, in theory anyway, by using programming it properly and linking it to the other parts of hardware that you would need to do whatever it is you're going to do. So this is kind of a, you can just call it a microcontroller, really.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what most people seem to refer to the Arduino and its, I wouldn't say competitors, similar products to that.
There are other open source microcontroller products out there, and some of them are a little more limited. Some of them are really, they've done a lot, the engineers behind it have done a lot of the work for you. For example, there are modular computing systems out there or modular electronics systems out there where you can create an electronic device by purchasing the various modules you would need and then linking them all together. It's almost like Legos, right? Like you've got all these electronics Legos, and if you put the right Lego bricks together, suddenly you have, you know, whatever device it is that you were looking for, like an accelerometer.
It's funny you would mention Legos.
Yeah.
The Make issue that had the Arduino in it listed several different types of controllers, mm-hmm. Including I/O boards like Pico board and fidgets, P-H-I-D-G-E-T-S, and some others, the Netduino, which is very similar to Arduino, controllers like the pickaxe and propeller, and then programmable modules, including Basic Stamp 2 and Lego Mindstorms. So these are all related to, I mean, the similar kinds of devices to the Arduino. But yeah, Arduino has gotten really popular, I think, because of its open source.
Yeah. And again, because of its flexibility, you can program an Arduino based device to be essentially self-contained, where it's going to follow its programming, and you have to set it up with power and everything like that. You know, it's not just like it's some magical device that can work on its own. But you can have it where it's a self-contained device, or you can have it where it's a connected device, where you could connect it to a computer and you run software off your computer to the circuit board to make it do whatever it is you plan. Like, I'll give you an example.
Okay.
Let's say that you have your Arduino circuit board that you've purchased, and you can actually build these yourself if you want to. They do have the directions on how to build one. Most people, I think, would probably be a little intimidated by building a circuit board and would be more comfortable purchasing a completed one. And remember, a completed circuit board is still pretty much a blank slate. That's just the foundation for you to build whatever it is you want to build. Well, let's say you've got your circuit board and you get an LED, and you connect that to your circuit board in the proper place, and you program your circuit board in such a way so that when it receives a particular kind of information, the light goes on, and you program it so that every time you get a new email, a little light comes on, and then you plug it into your computer and you've logged into your email client. And whenever you get a new email, it sends the signal, because you've programmed it this way and you've programmed it to interact with your computer. There's a signal sent from your computer to the electronic board, and the little light goes on. Now, that's just a very simple application of the Arduino board, right? That's just one tiny little example, but that's the sort of thing you could do if you wanted to.
Yes. Yeah, if you're listening to the podcast to this point and you're sort of trying to get an idea, you would basically see the same kind of thing if you haven't actually seen an Arduino board yet. If you popped open a remote control, or really, any kind of portable electronic device, mm-hmm. popped it open and looked at the guts of this, that's basically more or less what an Arduino is. It's the board that has, all kinds of whatever the components are that needs to run that device. But in the case of Arduino, it's a do-it-yourself type thing.
Yeah.
So it comes the board, like the Arduino Uno, which is, I would guess, probably the most basic, multi-purpose, very popular board. Although there are, again, many others. It comes with certain things pre-installed on it, but mm-hmm. though that's by no means, that's really sort of to get you started, I think. But really, it's not very, if you're not the kind of person that likes to take stuff apart or build stuff from scratch, this may not be very interesting to you. You might look at it and go, yeah, I don't care. I want it to be what I want it already.
Yeah.
The thing is, for people who like to do a little hacking and getting into some programming, this can be a lot of fun, because you can do it, – it's sort of like this is sort of like the physical representation of a programming language, I would say.
Yeah.
Because it takes – what it does is you can hook things into it to receive inputs and then hook other things up to it to give you an output.
Yes.
There are all kinds of projects on the web. I've seen games for it.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen, different kinds of input detectors, like you were talking about the email when it comes in, things like that, where it says, okay, when you get information, send me a signal somehow.
Yeah. And I mean,
you can do almost anything with it.
Really, in order to do these things, you have to hook up other circuitry to the Arduino, The Arduino, like I said, it's
just the board.
Yeah, it's just the foundation, and you have to provide the other bits that are going to build into whatever electronic device you're designing. So here, let's give a couple of other just examples of devices you could create with this.
Excellent.
I found a site called HackNMod, HackNMod, and it had a list of the top 40 Arduino projects on the web. And it was an interesting list. There were a lot of different applications, and these were just things that hobbyists thought, hey, you know what? I want to build such and such. The cool thing with Arduino is that let's say that you have come up with an idea for an electronic device, but you don't know any way of going about and doing it without starting from scratch. Well, the Arduino might serve as the foundation for your device, and you can even create devices that you can go on to sell in the market.
Mm-hmm.
That use Arduino as the basis for the electronics. That's perfectly fine with the Creative Commons license that they've used to license this stuff. Now there are cases where if you're going to make modifications to the hardware, you need to publish those changes so that other people can benefit from your work and you stay true to the license. But anyway, some examples include, I read about collision avoiding robots.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, you're using that circuit board as the brains, for lack of a better term, of this robot.
Brains.
Yeah. And so you have to attach the right sensors that will detect any sort of obstacle in the way of the robot. And you have to connect the other wires over to the various motors on the robot so that the robot's able to process the information that it pulls in and act on it. So that's an example of what the Arduino could be used for. But you can also do other things. Like I said, there's accelerometers. I came across a guitar pedal that was using the Arduino as the main circuit board for the guitar pedal. It's just a hobbyist made it. Keytars.
Hey.
Yeah. You want to bring those 80s days back. You want to have your keytar out. This is one that I thought was really a great idea. Someone used the Arduino as the basis to create a turn signal biking jacket.
Very nice.
So yeah, it's a jacket that has turn signals built into it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this, you know, these are just kind of neat ideas that people came up with, and they tooled around with the Arduino and various other electronic components and made them. There are others as well. There are radio control devices I've seen. I've also seen gaming devices. Like there was one that was essentially called an open source Game Boy.
Really?
Yeah. So the idea being that, you know, using the Arduino as the main circuit board, you could create a gaming device. Now, again, you still have to have all those other components, and you have to hook them up. Now, for a lot of these devices, people, what they do is they just went to an electronics store and bought the individual components, went back home, and then started to hook them up to the Arduino in the proper configuration. And then, you know, then you have to program it. And like I said, the programming language, that's, you know, Arduino makes that available too. So you can learn how to program your electronics device through the Arduino system and actually, you know, create the parameters that your device needs to follow in order to execute whatever actions you want it to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to use the Arduino language either. You can use others, but you would still have to create the pathway from it to go from whatever programming language you were using into the Arduino programming language. That, mm-hmm. that would add an extra step. But it is a possibility. And I've seen there are a lot of tutorials on the web as well on how to use Arduino and how to program Arduino.
Actually, the language is expandable using C or C++,
yeah.
According to Make. And that's pretty standard, you know, comparatively.
Yeah.
For example, NetDuino uses C#. As its programming language. And that's one of the things that they saw as a downside to that. If you're not comfortable programming in C, it might be a little daunting at first.
Yeah.
But you really don't need all that much if you want to get started with that. Of course, as we were saying before, you know, it does take some cash to get started to buy the main controller board, whichever board you decide to choose.
Yeah, there are several.
And I have some listed. you would also need some stuff to go with it. LEDs, potentiometers, accelerometers,
USB speakers. Cable.
Yeah, you definitely need a USB cable because you have to attach the board to your computer to program it.
Yeah.
Then one of the nice things about it is that it works with Windows, Mac, and Linux.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the things that sets it apart from a lot of other of these microcontrollers that you can purchase. A lot of them are platform specific. Mostly Windows, because of course that's the the most popular operating system out there. Yeah, the dominant operating system. And so that does set it apart. So yeah, that's one of the things that I really liked about Arduino is that it's you know platform agnostic. It doesn't align itself with a specific platform.
Although those of us with Amigas are still out of luck.
Those of you with Amigas, I'm amazed that they even run.
To be fair, I haven't plugged it in quite some time.
Yeah.
If you it doesn't really matter if you've got one of the predominant operating systems out there,
yeah.
even the smaller ones, then you're welcome to go ahead and dig in. You just need to, you know, figure out what it is that you want to do. You can find kits online.
Yep.
From a number of different stores that will give you the basics to get started with some easy projects, sort of get your feet wet with it. And it kind of reminds me when we were talking about radio in a podcast not too long ago about the crystal radio kits
yeah.
that you used to buy. This is sort of like that. It doesn't require a whole lot of soldering or anything like that. There are, you know, some of the other systems that I mentioned earlier and others like them do. It depends on whether you're buying just a controller or a controller board or an input-output board. You know, it sort of depends on what you're working with.
Yeah,
But the Arduino doesn't necessarily require a lot of that kind of thing because it's designed to be used in a variety of ways. So you can hook it up with wires, just basically clipping the wires into place to see what it does.
Yeah, it's a teaching tool in a way. It's really so that you can learn and experiment with electronics so that, you don't have to worry so much about what if I made a mistake? What if I'm not supposed to solder this wire to this contact point here? What if that's the wrong one? And then I have to, you know,
desolder it
and then resolder. It can be a headache. So this is kind of a way
literally.
This is kind of a way to avoid that and to have a little more flexibility and not feel as anxious every time you're about to make a connection. As for the programming language, Arduino divides it into three different parts. Structure, values, which are your variables and your constants, and the functions. And it's the combination of using these three parts that allows you to tell the circuit board what information it's going to receive and how it's going to act on that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a neat idea. I do recommend you check out the Hack and Mod article on the Top 40 because there are a lot of really interesting applications there. And also there are some tutorials online that are pretty helpful. It's funny because I found tutorials on two different sites and they share something in common.
Oh?
Yeah, let's see if you pick up on it. There's Adafruit Industries.
Yes.
And LadyAda.net.
Okay.
So Lovelace there had a bit of a influence on both of those. But both sites have tutorials on the Arduino microcontroller and will even go so far as to walk you through the first couple of projects. Like the Lady Ada one, the very first project that it'll walk you through is the what they call the electronics version of Hello World.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hello World, if you aren't familiar with this, Hello World is one of those very basic programs.
Yeah, you're supposed – actually, I would put this in quotes. You're supposed to, you know, write your first program and have it say Hello World. It's sort of a tradition, a programming tradition.
But yeah, it's – the whole idea is that you pick something that's incredibly simple to accomplish, but that gives you the basis to learn the tool. In this case, the programming language.
Mm-hmm.
So with the electronics version of Hello World, what that is a blinking LED. So it's learning how to program the Arduino so that it will cause an LED to blink.
Very nice.
Yeah, you can't get really any simpler than that.
Yeah.
It's about as easy as it gets. But then beyond that, the later tutorials start to teach you how to incorporate things like sensors and switches and buttons, things that we take for granted as users of electronics. You know, you tend to forget, oh, this button that I'm pressing is actually interacting with this electronic device in a fairly complex way. You know, you just think I push the button and Joel and the bots get the really bad movie of the week. Movie sign.
Ah, good times. Yeah, just as a side note, the founder of Adafruit Industries actually was profiled on the cover of Wired not too long ago.
Yeah.
That's a neat article. She's an interesting person.
Yes, yes. I remember that.
Definitely.
The cover caused some controversy, as I recall.
Yeah.
Which was unmerited.
Well, anyway, nonetheless.
Yes.
She, and her company is very into taking stuff apart and hacking it and doing it yourself. So, it's very cool. Actually, she's got some stuff that's wearable. And that's one of those funny things. When I got into the different boards, as I mentioned earlier, the Uno is the very basic board, but there are different ones. I mean, you have the Bluetooth board that comes with a Bluetooth module installed.
Mm-hmm.
There are mini boards and nano boards.
Yep.
Not literally nano.
Yeah, they're not actually on the nano scale. They're just smaller than the other boards.
Yeah, and you use the USB mini B cable instead of the regular.
And I mean, you would want to have those if your goal was to create an object that would need to be smaller, and you wouldn't want this larger circuit board in there because it would change the form factor you have in mind. That's why you would go with one of these smaller boards.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In general, it's one of the reasons anyway.
And then there's the LilyPad.
Yeah.
Did you see this?
I did not.
The LilyPad is an Arduino board for that's designed to be worn. It actually comes in purple. It's designed to be sewn into fabric so that you can wear whatever it is you're building. And for those who are working on a professional level who want to use the Arduino in something that you're going to leave as a permanent, you know, I want to create this device and I want it to be this way forever. It's not something I'm going to take apart again. There is a pro version of the board too. So really they're reaching out to a pretty broad section of the community. And you could tell, I mean, Seth Rosenblatt did an article for ZDNet just a couple days before we recorded this. Actually, the week we are recording this, we're following up on Google I/O, which is their developer conference.
Yeah.
Seth Rosenblatt was writing that about the Android Open Accessory Initiative and the Android Device Kit, which use the Arduino for people to build their own Android-based devices.
Yeah, that was a big part of Google's I/O event, was that they were talking about how Android is not just going to be a smartphone and tablet platform, but a platform that will be on top of lots of different kinds of electronics, things that you wouldn't even necessarily have thought, oh, well, yeah, clearly you want Android on that. So things like, you know, stoves and refrigerators and your robot dog.
Robot dog. I think that the system actually would continue, the Arduino part of it would still continue to run the IDE that comes with Arduino.
Yeah.
But this kit would allow you to basically create an interface between your Android-based device and the thing that you're building.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool to reach out and sort of bridge that gap. So you could make something that you could control with your phone, for example.
Yeah, I've seen some in that hack and mod list. I think there were a couple of things that people have already built where you can control certain devices through a phone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the list right in front of me, but I do seem to remember that. So yeah, it's a really neat kind of idea. If you guys are interested in electronics and building your own electronics and just really learning what makes electronics tick, then you might want to...
Or making them tick or yourself. Making
the, yeah, you can actually make the electronics tick.
What does it do? It ticks.
It ticks. I got a ticking module and I hooked it up and it's, yeah.
I don't suggest you make something that ticks and then put it in a public place.
Yeah, let's just say right now, don't do that. Don't do that. Yeah, they'll trace it back and then they'll come back and they'll knock on our doors and they'll say, why did you tell people to do this? So we didn't tell them to do that. We said that they would. It is possible to do that.
Yes.
We now disavow ourselves of any ticking Arduinos. Although ticking Arduinos would be a great name for a band.
Yeah.
I'm getting a little sidetracked, I think.
Anyway,
I was trying to say, if you're interested in electronics, you might want to look into this. It is a bit of an investment, although their boards tend to be $50 or less.
Yeah, it's not an expensive investment, but if it's something that you're doing as a hobby and, you know, well, you also have to buy the stuff in addition to the board.
Right.
A lot of the kits I've seen. Or whatever. Sorry.
Go ahead.
A lot of the kits I've seen are a little, usually around $99 or maybe $149 for a kit that has, again, you know, a speaker and a potentiometer and some other stuff that you can use to make it do stuff.
Right.
So that's not, it's not terrible, but it's not pocket change for a lot of people.
Right. But if you are interested in really getting into electronics and maybe you want to design electronics further down the line, then this would be, you know, probably a good way to kind of learn the ins and outs of the basics. And maybe even you'll come up with the next, you know, killer electronics device. I mean, you never know. This is the sort of stuff that can inspire people to really push the envelope as far as consumer electronics goes.
Well, you and I have talked about it before. We've talked about programming and things like the Commodore 64 and how many people who are in what is now a multi-billion dollar video gaming industry.
Yeah.
Started off typing in commands in their very low power VIC-20s and Commodore 64s back, you know, years and years ago. You know, this is a way to get your feet wet in the electronics world. So if you're interested in electronics engineering and you really don't have a lot of experience with it, this is a good way to get started. And it's a good way to build on it if you already do have some experience.
Exactly. Yeah. Anything from robotics to, like I said, consumer electronics. Well, I think that wraps up this discussion on Arduino. If you guys have any suggestions for future topics, let us know. Or let's say maybe you've worked with Arduino. If you have, let us know. Let us know what sort of projects you've worked with. Or any of Arduino's contemporaries, any of the other kind of microcontrollers. If you have experience with that, let us know. And you can let us know on Facebook and Twitter. Our handle there is TechStuffHSW. Or you can send us an email. That email address is TechStuff@HowStuffWorks.com. Chris and I will talk to you again really soon.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene! Gene Fodor!
Gene, was good!
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh?
Gene, run! Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.